For decades, I've spent my professional life researching, teaching, and communicating about climate change. But until recently, my climate work hasn't been something I talked about with my closest friends. For my research, I spent long, sweaty days of fieldwork in the mountains and grasslands and vineyards of California, documenting sagebrush marching uphill and Pinot Noir grapes around my hometown of Sonoma, losing their color as the world warmed around them. All this felt like a separate world from the time I spent with my friends, where we talked and joked about our families, careers, and love lives, went for hikes through the redwoods and to the beach, and shared good meals and wine. Through my years of avoiding talking about the climate elephant in the room, I was like most Americans, who know climate change is happening and are worried about it. Only 10% don't believe the unequivocal fact that humans are warming the climate. But still, unlike the vocal climate dismissives, most of the climate-concerned majority stays silent, reporting they almost never talk about climate change with friends and family. Many feel like it's someone else's problem. Polar bears, perhaps, or politicians, or people unlucky enough to be born somewhere poorer or sometime later than they were. Once you do start talking about it, you can't avoid scientific truths with overwhelming existential implications. Human climate pollution and destruction of nature are putting at risk both human civilization and life on Earth as we know it. Gulp. In the face of this enormity, no wonder so many feel helpless, that you're powerless and don't matter, and hopeless, that no one can help and therefore nothing matters. I understand those feelings. I have them myself. Over the course of my career, climate change has transmogrified from something only experts could see, reading clues trapped in icy air bubbles or statistical patterns in long-term data sets, to something everyone on Earth is living through. For me, climate change has gone from being something I study to a way that I see the world and experience my life. It's one thing to publish a study on the hypothetical impacts of temperature increase on California's people and ecosystems. It's another to feel my stomach gripped by fear as my parents flee a catastrophic California wildfire, cranked up by longer, hotter, drier summers. It's one thing to measure declining color pigments in Pinot Noir grapes due to increasing temperatures. It's another to viscerally mourn the loss of the taste of my favorite wine as it passes from this earth. By the time Colty and I finally talked about climate, it had gone from a measurable change to a prevailing crisis to a screaming emergency. Climate change was already rewriting the stories we read, reshaping our everyday lives, affecting everything and everyone we love. Climate was already woven through everything else we talked and cared about. Colty and I had a series of climate counseling sessions where we talked about the core values he hoped to pass on to his kids, his hopes and fears for the future, what inspired him and kept him going. In our conversations, I translated the science of an enormous global problem to a personal and human scale. I wanted to help my friend see the power he already had to be a force for climate and social good, and to live a better life more in line with his values along the way. These sessions were a version of the conversation I've been having over and over again for years, with strangers at parties and on trains, in my talks with business leaders, festival goers, protesters, knitting grandmas, and everyone else who will listen. From these conversations, I know firsthand that there are many smart, concerned people out there who are deeply invested in the future of humankind and who don't need further proof that climate change is a real and urgent threat. Those of us who want to help are the majority. If even a fraction of us can mobilize and take action, we are more than enough to stabilize the climate. That's why I'm writing this book,